Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
Paul Dalton. Dr. Hello. Paul Dalton, you're very welcome to the programme. Associate Professor of Psychology in UCD and Head of Psychology at St. Vincent's University Hospital. You're very welcome back.
Thanks.
You're here today, Paul, on what is arguably the anniversary of the first person diagnosed with COVID-19 in this country. Yeah. Now, how significant is this in the emotional and psychology, in the emotional makeup of people in this country who have gone through a hell of a year?
A hell of a year. And on this day last year, as you say, the first person diagnosed with COVID in this country, it was the 29th of February, a leap year. So I think the important thing to say is that these anniversaries, and maybe March in particular, is a month for many of us that will be forever in our minds as a as the kind of start of COVID, as a psychological kind of anchor point or anniversary, a COVID anniversary. And if you remember back to this time last year, how can you forget? But for many people, COVID started when the schools closed. That was Thursday, the 12th of March. Leo Varadkar spoke to us from Washington, and it's been described as the 24 hours that changed everything. So for many people, it was around then. And the poignancy of what happened at that time, if you remember the sudden silence overnight, deserted streets, the fear, and suddenly all of these new terms, the R rate, flattening the curve, PPE, the positivity rate, and the incredible civic response, the volunteering across the country. So I think it's important to say that these anniversaries, this remembering, really matters. And we all have a kind of a COVID moment, a moment around that time when we realised, oh, actually, this is really serious and we're in trouble. I remember my own being in the Royal Hospital in Kilmainham, where I walk or run a bit, and being told that it was being turned into a temporary mortuary. And we all had those moments last year of like, oh my God, this is really serious.
And when we recall those moments a year on, you talk about something called the anniversary effect.
Yeah.
Is that simply that we're reliving in our brains the horror of that lived moment a year ago?
Yeah, the anniversary effect. What the psychologists have termed the anniversary effect, and people know what the anniversary effect is. It's what happens when we approach the anniversary of the death of a loved one, for example, or the anniversary of if I got a serious diagnosis or some other tragic event. At the time of the anniversary, something begins to change inside. We begin to feel a little more sad or fearful or regretful. Essentially, Cormac, around the time of our anniversary, our feelings intensify. They become more significant. The volume is turned up and we begin to turn inwards. We begin to slow down and, as you say, to relive, to remember what's happened. Now, people will often say to me that actually when it comes to grief, sometimes around an anniversary, as painful as it can be, people will feel closer to the person that they've lost at that time.
Why is that?
We're not entirely sure. Something to do with the intensity of the emotion that happens around then. And the other thing that I think is interesting, Cormac, is that people often say around the time of an anniversary that often the weeks leading into the anniversary are worse than the event itself, than the actual anniversary.
Leading up to the anniversary is worse than the day.
The anticipation of it, many people will say, is much more difficult. I think what's really important to say as we approach this anniversary, the COVID anniversary, what's really important to say is that what happens at the time of an anniversary is remembering. So it's an act of gathering memories, of establishing and remembering sometimes the chronology of an event, the timeline, what happened when. So in remembering, we kind of pull together fragments of human experience. And importantly, Cormac, we do this in communities And over centuries, humans have done this together as a collective.
Isn't that the problem, Paul? Because in the pandemic, we can't do it in communities. Yeah. I think there's a special, I mean, you know this more than me, but I think there's a special alchemy in being in the presence of someone. And no more so that in a funeral, when the neighbour comes in and shakes your hand in pre-pandemic days, there is an alchemy at work there, isn't there? A comforting alchemy.
There is, that we're starved of at the moment, and we don't have those opportunities. And even when we think about the year that's been, Cormac, we think about, you know, the more than 4,300 people who've died this year, the 30,000 people who've died this year from other causes, that grieving is curtailed, that bereavement is so much more brutal because of what you've said, because we don't have that face-to-face, we don't have what that gives us. So yes, we need to find other ways to do that. And having said that, those conversations that we can have, however we can have them, and the limitations of Zoom and telephone, it's really important. You know, the multiple conversations people will have around the time of a loss or after a loss, where we're recalling and sometimes reliving the day. Mm-hmm. It's like, who was there? When did that happen? Were you there at that point? Those kinds of conversations literally help us to file the memory in our brain. They take some of the hard edges off those traumatic events.
That's interesting you say that now, because I feel we are still very much living through this pandemic. Yeah, people are being vaccinated as we speak. Mm-hmm. But for an awful lot of people, they are still cocooning. Everyone is social distancing. They are feeling the loss of the close relationships that family or friendship brings. Do you think, as we're talking about anniversaries, do you think it's too early then to commemorate the commencement of the pandemic in Ireland?
I think we'd have to be careful about that. I think there's something we'd need to be very sensitive about public, about private grief, and when that becomes public. So that requires consideration. That requires really delicate handling, and not wanting to sound too bleak. We're not out of the woods yet. So I think that takes a little bit of time. That will take a little bit of time. But when it does happen, those ways of telling stories and those ways of telling stories as a community and as a collective are actually what help us psychologically to put shape on our experience, so that those memories become in some ways less intrusive, or we get less blindsided by an emotion through that kind of dialogue. Does that make a bit of sense?
No, it does. It does, absolutely. Can I ask you, though, and you alluded to it a little bit there, for people who have lost family or close friends during this pandemic, and as you say, they couldn't go through the normal rituals of a funeral because of restrictions and COVID guidelines and so on. Coming up to an anniversary, maybe year two or three or whatever the case may be, or when we can, do you think it's a good idea for all of those people to go back and try and celebrate almost a funeral again? And I don't mean to sound in any way callous or difficult, but to relive the memory or celebrate the memory of that person in a proper way, so to speak.
I do. And I think that's going to be very important for some people in particular, that there's an opportunity for that to happen. Mm-hmm. We don't grieve. We certainly don't. We don't mourn well on our own. And I've been personally at a couple of funerals at a remove, and it is, I think, probably one of the most painful things, not to be able to embrace or to hug someone.
Do you mean during the pandemic?
Yeah. I mean, that's painful. So Cormac, we have work to do. We have work to do as we move into the future, and as we begin to recover from this, we have work to do. And you know, I think there's a couple of really important things as we face in to the next little while, as we face into the COVID anniversary, and a couple of just back to basics. Cormac, this is not normal. You know, so we're hearing this. This is the new normal. It's absolutely not normal. That new normal narrative is really dangerous. If we're told this is normal, we set very high standards for ourselves and we can override our emotional needs. So it's not normal, and we need to drop our standards and do our imperfect best. We cannot accept the same level of productivity of care out of ourselves in this situation as we could have in the past.
Okay, so be nice to yourself, I suppose.
It's, and that's, you know, and that's, and for some of us, that's the most difficult thing in the world, actually, is to be nice to ourselves. You
know, we might come back to that again, because it's a huge topic, isn't it, in psychology?
But definitely drop the standards. You know, the tyranny or the burden of wellness. Mm. We all need to be well. Do you know what we mightn't be?
Okay. Look, it's always lovely to talk to you and hear your advice and counsel. Dr. Paul Daldon, Associate Professor of Psychology at UCD and, as I say, Head of Psychology at St. Vincent's University Hospital. Thank you very much indeed.